Jesus says concerning the Spirit, but when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth, for he will not speak on his own initiative, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will disclose to you what is to come. He shall glorify me, for he shall take of mine and disclose it to you. The Spirit of God takes the Word of God and brings it forth to the people of God.
Welcome to this Monday edition of Equipping the Saints with Greg Lundstedt, pastor of Equipping Bible Church in Greer, South Carolina. And Greg, as we embark on today's teaching, give us an idea of what we'll be learning from the book of Ezekiel.
Well, Dave, we're going to continue to see today that God is going to bring forth his judgment upon his people. But yet in the midst of that, we're going to begin to see that God is a gracious God who saves. Okay, with this in mind, let's turn to our passage in Ezekiel chapter 11.
Well, thanks, Greg. Now, if you want to listen to today's broadcast again, just download our new free app from the Apple App Store. You'll find today's broadcast, archive broadcasts, as well as more about this ministry and our teacher, Pastor Greg Lundstedt. Now, let's join Greg for today's message.
He's saying, hey, you know, if the peace you say comes to pass and you're from God, but he's going to say, that ain't going to happen. Notice he's going to continue. And Hananiah gets it, okay? This prophet gets it that Ezekiel is being facetious with him, that, hey, you're a bad guy. Then Hananiah the prophet took the yoke from the back of Jeremiah and broke it. And Hananiah spoke in the presence of the people, saying, thus says the Lord, even so I will break within 2 years the yoke of Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, from the neck of all the nations. Then the prophet Jeremiah went his way. Yeah, he had enough, okay? And the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah after Hananiah the prophet had broken a yoke from off prophet Jeremiah, saying, go and speak to Hananiah. Thus says the Lord, you have broken the yokes of wood, but you have made instead of them yokes of iron. For thus says the Lord God of hosts, I have put a yoke of iron on the neck of all these nations, that they may serve Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, and they may shall serve him. And I have also given him the beasts of the field. Then Jeremiah the prophet said to Hananiah, listen now, Hananiah, the Lord has not sent you, and you have made this people trust in a lie. You know, you hear those guys on TV, and I've seen it on the internet lately, these prophet guys, they're saying, they're using events like the shooting of Trump and things to come out with prophecies that they say they are going to happen. Same thing, they're prophesying lies, because we have the completed word of God. He says, the Lord has not sent you, you have made this people trust in a lie. Therefore, thus says the Lord, behold, I'm about to remove you from the face of the earth. Hey, that's not good when God says, I'm going to remove you from the face of the earth. This year you're going to die because you have counseled rebellion against the Lord. So Hananiah the prophet died in the same year in the seventh month. He took him out because he was prophesying lies that Nebuchadnezzar would be defeated and all that supposedly God is saying is not going to happen. Peace and safety. You see, that's the evil advice they were giving. Hey, it's about time to build your houses, isn't it? Things are going to be peaceful. Hey, the city is like a pot, an iron pot around us. We are protected. We're this choice meat inside, okay? So these evil men devise iniquity, give evil advice. And you say, well, how does that apply to us today? Well, are you sympathetic with those who lessen or twist the word of God? Who do the same? It's a serious issue. Let me give you a modern day illustration. You have every week mainline denominations that say God is a God of love, a God of peace. You can stay in your sin. You can do whatever you want and God loves you. Okay? Well, God does love, but that love is demonstrated not that you can stay in your sin, but that he sent his son who died for our sins. And if you turn to him, he'll save you. And so they give the same evil advice. Peace and safety. Continue the way you are going because you're fine. But no, God says it is appointed man once to die and then the judgment. And this is coming into the evangelical church. There are so many going the way of the dead denominations. They share a gospel that is void of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. A gospel for your felt needs. I was taught, Sammy, you can go to a million churches right and visit. They're going to cater to you. They're going to make you feel good with what they have to keep you in there rather than just to faithfully proclaim the word of God. They give you a gospel that feeds your flesh And then you have a disingenuous conversion. You think you're saved when you're not. It wins the flesh of non-believers who stay non-believers. But God says the soul that sins will die. And he takes no pleasure in the death of those who die, but rather they would repent and live. So back to our passage. They're saying, hey, it's about time. Some of your versions are a little backwards, I think, just the way it's translated. But I think in context, we'll see very clearly it's saying, is it not the time now? Is it not the time to start building? You know, we're protected. We're going to make it through. Well, they don't, as we'll see. Verse 4, back in chapter 11, Ezekiel. Therefore, is the Lord saying to Ezekiel, prophesy against them, son of man, prophesy. Hey, this is speak forth the word of God. That's what prophecy is, speaking forth the word of God. It can be forthtelling or foretelling. We see that in the Old Testament, but now we have the completed word of God. And so notice we see his prophecy. What happens here? Then the Spirit of the Lord fell upon me, Ezekiel says, and he said to me, thus says the Lord. Now, what's interesting, on a side note, we get a good vision into how God brings forth the word of God, don't we? It is through the Spirit of God that the word of God comes forth. He says, thus says the Lord. Say, thus says the Lord. We know in 2 Peter chapter 1, Peter says, know this first of all, that no prophecy of Scripture, that's prophecy of written word, is a matter of one's own interpretation. 2 Peter 1:20. For no prophecy was ever made by an act of human will, but men moved by the Holy Spirit spoke from God. The Spirit of God brought it forth. I'll share another passage, John 16. Jesus says in John 16, 13 concerning the Spirit, he says, but when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth, for he will not speak on his own initiative, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will disclose to you what is to come. He shall glorify me, for he shall take of mine and disclose it to you. The Spirit of God takes the word of God and brings it forth to the people of God. And as we'll see, we need the Spirit of God to understand the word of God. So then, back in our passage in Ezekiel chapter 11, verse 5, say, thus says the Lord. Folks, obviously prophecy against these evil men. Prophesy against them, prophesy, right? He says, thus says the Lord. So you think, house of Israel, for I know your thoughts. You see, so you think this way? Hey, I know what you're thinking. So you think it's time to build your houses. The city will protect you. So you think. You heard that term. Someone says, they say, so you think, right? So you think. House of Israel, he says, I know your thoughts. He says, you have multiplied your slain in this city, filling its streets with them. You're a violent, bloody people. You're an idolatrous, bloody people. Remember, idolatry always leads to violence, greedy violence. It's always greedy violence. We see that with all our violence in our cities. It's greedy violence, by the way. People have turned away from the Lord. They've made a god of their own image, which is their self or something else, and they're violent. It was a bloody city. They said they followed the Lord. There's a bloody city. Turn to Ezekiel 22. He says, so you think? The Lord says, I know your thoughts. And he goes on to say, you've multiplied the slain of the city, filling its streets with them. Hey, you've got blood on your hands. Ezekiel 22. Then the word of the Lord came to me saying, and you, son of man, will you judge the bloody city? Then cause her to know all her abominations. And you shall say, thus says the Lord, a city shedding blood in her midst, so that her time will come, and that makes idols contrary to her interest for defilement. You have become guilty by the blood which you have shed, and defiled by your idols which you have made. Thus you have brought your day near and have come to your years. Therefore I have made you a reproach to the nations and a mocking to all the lands. Those who are near and those who are far from you will mock you of ill repute, full of turmoil. Behold, the rulers of Israel, each according to his power, have been in you for the purpose of shedding blood. They have treated the father and the mother lightly within you. The alien they have oppressed in your midst, the fatherless and the widow they have wronged in you. You have despised my holy things, profaned my Sabbaths. Slanderous men have been in you for the purpose of shedding blood. And in you they have eaten at the mountain shrines. In the midst they have committed acts of lewdness. in you they have uncovered your father's nakedness, in you they have humbled her who was unclean in her menstrual impurity, and the one who has committed abomination with his neighbor's wife, another lewdly defiled his daughter-in-law, and another in you has humbled his sister, his father's daughter. In you they have taken bribes to shed blood. You have taken interest in profits. You have injured your neighbors for gain by opposition, and you have forgotten me, declares the Lord God. Behold, then I will smite my hand at your dishonest gain which you have acquired and at the bloodshed which is among you. Can your heart endure? Can your hands be strong in the days that I shall deal with you? I, the Lord, have spoken and shall act. This bloody city would name the name of the Lord, but they're full of idolatry. And back in our passage, he says here in verse 6, you have multiplied the slain, filling the streets with them. So you think it's time to build your houses to protect you? No, you're going to be judged. Then look at verse 7. Therefore, thus says the Lord God, you are slain whom you have laid in the midst of the city are the flesh. The city is the pot, but I shall bring you out. He's saying, hey, you thought you were the flesh protected by the outside? No, the dead bodies of the slain are going to be the ones that are sitting there. You're going to be taken out, and you're going to actually fall by the sword, as we will see. In an ironic twist, the pot will not protect them, but they will be brought out and judged, and the slain will be the flesh inside the pot. God knows their thoughts, and they'll be judged. Look at verse 8. You have feared a sword, so I'll bring a sword upon you, the Lord God declares. And I shall bring you out of the midst of the city, and I shall deliver you to the hands of strangers and execute judgments against you. You will fall by the sword. This is judgment coming. They've rejected the Lord over and over and over again. He has been gracious to them year after year after year, beckoning them to repent, to turn to him, to turn from their evil ways, to turn to the Lord, to be forgiven. They have rejected him, and they are evil idolaters who would still name the name of the Lord. They even have their prophets saying, hey, it's time to build houses. God's not mad with you. Just like those denominational churches on Sunday today, people are going in there in their wicked sin and they're saying, hey, you're fine with God. You're just fine. Well, that's not true. He says here, verse 11, this city will not be a pot for you. You're not going to be protected by it, nor will your flesh be in the midst of it. Hey, you're going to be pulled out. You're going to be running from the sword. And you're going to get slaughtered. That's what he said. But I shall judge you to the border of Israel. Remember, he said, so you think, house of Israel, for I know your thoughts, verse 5. So you think you can get away with it? Think about your own life. So you think you can just live your life the way you want? You can just do what you want? You're going to be fine with God? So you think? So here, we know, like the Lord said through Jeremiah, in Jeremiah 17:5, thus says the Lord, cursed is the man who trusts in mankind and makes flesh his strength. Hey, this city's the pot. We're protected. We're good to go. We're fine. And whose heart turn away from the Lord. Those in Jerusalem had rejected the word of the God and the God of the word, and they had made gods of their own image. They had twisted God's word, saying peace and safety. But God will not be mocked. He had given them ample time to turn and repent. He had given them ample warnings. But now he's going to bring their deeds on their heads. Look at verse 12. Thus you will know that I am the Lord, for you have not walked in my statutes, nor have you executed my ordinances, but you've acted according to the ordinances of the nations around you. And again, as we saw in Ezekiel, over 63 times we have this phrase in some fashion, thus you will know I'm the Lord. Then you will know I'm the Lord. You see, the Lord is the sovereign of the universe. But we don't acknowledge him as such when we're in our sin, when we don't care about him, we're doing our own thing. Before we're saved, there's no fear of God before our eyes. He's not the Lord in our eyes. There's two ways that mankind, sinful mankind, comes to know that the Lord is the Lord. The first way is through faith in Jesus Christ. When you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, when you call upon the Lord to be saved, then you recognize he is the Lord. He died for your sins, and you willingly, voluntarily give him the glory as the Lord of the universe. Whoever will call upon the name of the Lord will be saved. But if you reject Jesus, then all that's left is judgment. And when that judgment happens, you will know that he is the Lord. You'll acknowledge he's the Lord. Every knee will bow and every tongue will confess to the glory of the Father. You have a choice. You can bow willingly and thankfully and so blessed and full of joy, thanking him for Jesus who died for your sins. Or you can bow in judgment and you will acknowledge he's the Lord. And here he says, thus you will know I am the Lord, for you have not walked in my statutes, nor have you executed my ordinances, but have acted according to the ordinances of the nations. You didn't obey my word. And the only way we can obey his word is if we get saved. Can't obey unless I'm in Christ. We've got to be in Christ, and he gives us the ability to do so. So then, are you trusting in yourself or mankind? If you haven't repented of your sin and placed your faith in Jesus, the Lord says and is declaring to all men everywhere that they should repent, for he has fixed a day when he will judge the world through a man having furnished proof by raising him from the dead. Acts 17. Some people need to hear what the Lord Jesus said to those who would call the Lord their Lord. Luke 6:46, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and not do what I say? Now, if you answer that question, if you're not saved, the question is, I don't want to do what you say. I want to do my will, right? But when God convicts our heart that we're sinful, and we turn and we realize that Jesus died for our sins, he paid the full price, that God loves us so much, and we say, Lord Jesus, I am trapped in sin, I can't get out, save me, Lord Jesus, he'll save you. And he'll change your heart. And he'll enable you and have desires to actually obey. And you'll actually be grieved when you don't. Change of heart. So then, here we see that these Jews think they're going to get away with it. No way. Now notice, back in our passage, there's a symbolic fulfillment. Now it came about, as I prophesied, and this is prophecy against those leaders, right, who devise iniquity and sell lies. He says that Pelatiah, the son of Benaniah, died. He died right while he's prophesying. The Lord brought judgment upon him. Just like the other guy in Jeremiah, right? The Lord knocked him off. And notice Ezekiel's response. He starts to wonder, you know, as any human being, hey, people are getting, they're being judged. What's going to happen? Verse 13, then I fell on my face and cried out with a loud voice and said, alas, Lord God, wilt thou bring the remnant of Israel to a complete end? Are you going to wipe them all out? Is that what's going to happen? And it's at this point we turn in our passage to a wonderful, wonderful, it's been all about judgment, but now a wonderful prophecy of hope. Verse 14, then the word of the Lord came to me saying, son of man, your brothers, your relatives, your fellow exiles, and the whole house of Israel, all of them, all who are the inhabitants of Jerusalem, all of those to whom the inhabitants of Jerusalem have said, go far from the Lord. This land has been given as a possession. So at this point, he's going to say, those are going to be changed. There's going to be something that happens. And so what is he saying here? Those who were in Israel were saying to the exiles, go far from the Lord. We have the land. We're the ones that are in God's eyes. We have the land. But the opposite was true. Those who had been exiled, God was actually working with. And those who remained to go through the siege and his final judgment, God was not with. Then the word of the Lord came to me saying, son of man, your brothers, your relatives, your fellow exiles, and the whole house of Israel, all of them, that's speaking of those in exile, are those to whom the inhabitants of Jerusalem, that's the bad guys, have said, go far from the Lord. This land has been given to us. Twisted pride. They're about to be judged, and they're saying the exiles are the ones far away from the Lord. Isn't that the way it is? The truth was they were entering into judgment, and God was about to expel them and slaughter them because they had rejected him. But notice God's gracious, gracious protection. Verse 16, therefore say, thus says the Lord God, though I have removed them far among the nations, and though I have scattered them among the countries, this is those who have been scattered before this siege, including Ezekiel, yet I was a sanctuary for them a little while in the countries which they had gone. God says, hey, I take full credit. I scattered them. I scattered. Remember, they were scattered, the first group with Daniel and his friends, then Ezekiel and others, you know, are scattered and taken into exile. And this last bit is going to be slaughtered in Jerusalem, and very few will make it out. But the ones that had gone, God's saying, hey, I was with them. God did not abandon the people of Israel, even though they had abandoned him. He did not abandon them. He says, yet I was a sanctuary for them for a little while in the countries. It's not like the Jews are saying in Jerusalem who are going to be judged, hey, you guys are the ones God has left. No, they're the ones that are going to be judged, and I'm with you. And so we have this question from Ezekiel, are you going to bring the remnant to an end? And he continues to give his answer, the Lord. Therefore, verse 17 say, thus says the Lord God, I shall gather you from the peoples and assemble you out of the countries among which you have been scattered. I shall give you the land of Israel. The ones that got exiled, you're going to get it back. The ones that are there are going to be judged. It's not time to build houses. It's not time. Judgment is coming. They're giving you false assurance. They're lying. They're showing iniquity. He says, I'll give you the land of Israel. The Lord is faithful to his word. He's going to regather these exiled Jews. They're going to be given the land of Israel. And in a moment, I believe we're going to see this foreshadows their second exile, in a sense, after they rejected the Messiah and were spread out throughout the nations and were now brought back into the land. I believe it foreshadows that. Notice verse 18, and this is wonderful. And I know it's kind of complex, but it's actually quite simple. This is wonderful. Verse 18, when they come there, this is when the Jews are brought back to the land, they will remove all its detestable things and all its abominations from it, and I shall give them one heart and shall put a new spirit within them. I shall take the heart of stone out of their flesh and give them a heart of flesh, that they may walk in my statutes and keep my ordinances and do them. Then they will be my people and I will be their God. You see, man has a problem. We have a sin problem, and our sins are hardened towards God. And when we turn to the Lord for salvation, he changes our hearts. And he's saying Israel, all of them are going to be saved at one time. He's going to say that they're going to be changed. He says, when they come, when they come. He says, I'm going to put a new spirit, give them one heart, take the heart of stone out, give them a heart of flesh. Now we know the remnant of believers that came back after the 70-year exile, Zechariah, Haggai, Ezra, Nehemiah, there was a very small remnant, and even in the Gospels we see a small remnant who were believers, who did have changed hearts. Yet Israel as a nation was still in unbelief when the Lord Jesus came. They saw a great light, but they rejected him. He came to his own, but they rejected him, right? And so he says this here. So when is this going to happen? When is this fulfillment going to happen where those who are brought back to Israel actually have one heart? Their heart of stone is removed. They have a heart of flesh. They have God's spirit. And they're able to obey God's word. And they're his people. When's that going to happen? In Ezekiel 37, we have that famous, people made it into a more of a children's portion, but it's the dry bones. We have a picture of dry bones being brought into Israel, in a sense, and they're dead. But God takes those dry bones and he adds flesh to them and makes them alive.
If you've just tuned in, you're listening to Equipping the Saints with Greg Lundstedt. And Greg's message today is from his series in the book of Ezekiel. Now, you can hear today's message again by visiting our website, etsradio.org. That's etsradio.org. CDs of today's message or other messages are available at our website as well. And as a part of the ministry of Equipping the Saints, all our audio resources are available at no cost to you, thanks to the Lord's provision through the faithful support of friends of this broadcast. To order your complimentary CD, call us toll-free, 1-800-596-9144. That's 800-596-9144. If you prefer to request your complimentary CD by email, our email address is contact@etsradio.org. Greg, as we wrap up today's broadcast, what's our takeaway?
Well, Dave, our takeaway is this. It's just that God is a holy and just God, and that he will bring about judgment for those who reject his provision of salvation that is found in the seed of Abraham, Jesus Christ. Yet as we've just begun to see in glorious fashion, the Lord God is faithful to his promises, and he will save Israel. So with that in mind, make plans to join us for tomorrow's broadcast, where we're going to see so clearly that God keeps his word and Israel will be saved.
As we close today's broadcast, here's an important message from our teacher, Greg Lundstedt.
Hi, this is Greg Lundstedt, and it is my great privilege to study and teach the Word of God and to share it with you each day on this radio station. And as you listen, I want to ask you this question. Has equipping the saints been a blessing to you? If so, would you prayerfully consider coming alongside us financially? You see, your financial partnership with us is so appreciated. So on behalf of the team here at Equipping the Saints, we want to praise our Lord and thank you for your prayers and financial support.
Well, thanks, Greg. Now, to partner with us, call us toll-free 1-800-596-9144. That's 800-596-9144. Or if you prefer to send a gift online, our web address is etsradio.org. Well, we hope you make plans to join us again right here for another edition of Equipping the Saints.